I told Julie we wanted to celebrate this morning, so I think we're on the right track. Hey, we've been over the last several weeks talking to you about the values of Living Christ Church. We've been preaching through these. We want to own these, and so here they are. There's four of them that makes it kind of simple. We will love NIAC. We will listen to God. We will change through the work of the Holy Spirit. And this morning we're going to talk about we will invest in people. We talked about we will love NIAC, and what that looks like is whatever we do as a church, what is the net benefit of the town of NIAC? How does the town benefit from what we do, who we are, how we act, how we respond? What's that net benefit look like? And we want that net benefit to be positive. We talked about listening to God, that we hear him through his word and through his spirit, that he is still speaking. He never stops speaking. He's still speaking through his word and through his spirit. And he wants what's best for us. That we will change, but that change will happen through the work of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the one who will change us if we give him permission to do so. And that net change will always be good or for our good. He doesn't want us to change. He doesn't want to change us for the bad. He wants to change us for the good because God is good. Amen? All right, we'll get there. And this morning, we will invest in people. We will invest in people. We have a long lineage and history of investing in people here at Living Christ Church. Previous when our name was called Simpson Memorial Church. We've invested in people for years and years and years and years and years. And we want to continue to invest in people. We don't want that to stop. And so it had to and it must be one of our values. And so we've broken it down this way. For the sake of those near and far, we will invest in the people that God gives us. During their time among us, people will become healthier, more whole, and more Christ-like. We will be generous with our time, our energy, our wisdom, our resources, and our knowledge. That's what we want to be. And so let me break that down just a little bit for you. So the first of which is near and far. We were specific on this one because we didn't want to make it too wordy, but we wanted it to be understood. So those near and far, those who will stay and those who will go. We will intentionally invest in people who will stay here at Living Christ Church, but we're also going to invest in people who won't stay here. They'll go somewhere else. It could be down the block. It could be next state or town over. It could be across the seas. But just because they leave doesn't mean we're not going to invest in them. We want to invest in people. So we'll invest in them whether they stay with us or not. This is, we'll come back to that one because this one's a hard one, I think, for us. Healthier and more whole. What we mean by that is in regards to your soul, I would love for all of us to be healthier physically, myself included, even though the holidays are coming up, and that's very difficult for some of us. What we're talking about here is in regards to the soul and caring for it. If you come and call Living Christ Church your home through the work and transformation of the Holy Spirit, we believe that your soul will become healthier, that your soul will become more whole, and that the end result will be that you will look more like Christ because of what he does in and through you. And so we want to foster in that kind of environment here at Living Christ Church so that that can happen. We want to invest in you. And so to do so, we're going to be looking this morning. We're going to spend 2 weeks on this one. So this morning, we're going to be looking at 2 Timothy chapter 1 all the way to chapter 2, verse 2. So we're going to look at a bigger chunk this morning. If you don't have a Bible with you, we've provided one in front of you. It's 2 Timothy chapter 2 on, it's page 1155 in the Pew Bible in front of you, or grab your phone, your app, whatever you have. Open up to that. I'm going to read that whole section of Scripture before we start this morning. So 2 Timothy chapter, starting in verse 1 of chapter 1, all the way to 2:2. And it says, starting in verse 1, Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus, by the will of God, according to the promise of life that is in Christ Jesus, to Timothy, my dear son, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. I thank God, whom I serve as my forefathers did with a clear conscience. As night and day, I constantly remember you in my prayers. Recalling your tears, I long to see you so that I may be filled with joy. I have been reminded of your sincere faith, which first lived in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and I'm persuaded now lives in you also. For this reason, I remind you to fan into flame the gift of God which is in you through the laying on of my hands. For God did not give us a spirit of timidity, but a spirit of power and of love and of self-discipline. So do not be ashamed to testify about our Lord or ashamed of me, his prisoner, but join with me in suffering for the gospel by the power of God who has saved us and called us to a holy life. Not because of anything that we have done, but because of his own purpose and grace. This grace was given us in Christ Jesus before the beginning of time, but has now been revealed through the appearing of our Savior, Christ Jesus, who has destroyed death and has brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. And of this gospel, I was appointed a herald, an apostle, and a teacher. That is why I am suffering as I am. Yet I am not ashamed, because I know whom I have believed and am convinced that he is able to guard what I have entrusted to him for that day. What you have heard from me, keep as the pattern of sound teaching, with faith and love in Christ Jesus. Guard the good deposit that was entrusted to you. Guard it with the help of the Holy Spirit who lives in us. You know that everyone in the province of Asia has deserted me, including Philetus and Hermogenes. May the Lord show mercy to the household of Onesiphorus, because he often refreshed me and was not ashamed of my chains. On the contrary, when he was in Rome, he searched hard for me, and he found me. May the Lord grant that he will find mercy from the Lord on that day. You know very well in how many ways he helped me in Ephesus. You then, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things you have heard me say in the presence of many witnesses, entrust to reliable men who will also be qualified to teach others. So just let me give us a little context before we dive into what this passage is all about. The first of which is the writer of this letter is Paul. He says there in the passage he is an apostle, he is a herald, he is a teacher. And he is currently in his second Roman imprisonment. Yes, two times he's imprisoned. This is the last letter Paul writes before his death, and it is to Timothy, a young man Paul is invested in to carry on the good news of Jesus Christ. And so this is the context in which we find ourselves when we're looking at this passage of Scripture. And I want to look at three things from this passage this morning. They're not the only three things, but they're the three things that I want to focus on this morning. They are descriptive, not necessarily prescriptive, all right? So I want to look at these things in regards to what we hear our values saying to us. The first of which is investment is a group effort. It's a group effort. It's not a solo gig. In the kingdom of God, nothing is done just one person. It is a group effort. We are the body of Christ, Scripture tells us. So we do these things together, not solo. So we never invest in people by ourselves. Other people are investing in the people that we invest in. And that's good, and it should be that way. So this is a group effort. What is that investment? What is being invested? And in here, we see a description of what's being invested. And then lastly, that there's a response that we should have, and that is to continue on the investment, to invest in others. So these three things, this is what I see this morning from this passage of Scripture. Once again, they're not the only three things. I've read this, I memorized this passage of Scripture, and every time I read it, I feel like I see something new. And that's because God is awesome and he does that. But I want to look at these three things this morning. And the first of which is that there's a group effort involved. And so we see three people here that are mentioned as investing in Timothy. There's probably more, but these are the three that are listed in this passage of Scripture. The first of which is his grandmother Lois. The second is his mother Eunice. And the third is Paul himself, the writer of this letter. Now, these are not, probably not the only people that invested in Timothy, but they're the three that are mentioned here. So that's the who of who's investing in Timothy. And let's look at some of the things and ways in which they do that. So how do they invest in him? So from this passage of Scripture, we see a couple different things. Prayer. Paul says he prays for Timothy night and day. He never stops praying for Timothy. Sign me up for that. If any of you want to pray for me night and day, I will take it. Tell me, text me, whatever. I'll take it. Night and day, Paul is praying for them, for Timothy. It's modeled for Timothy. He's able to see it. Lived in is mentioned three times there. This relationship with Jesus was lived in by his grandmother and by his mother and by Paul himself. And Timothy was able to see it modeled for him. It was modeled for him. This is what life with Christ looks like. Let me show you, Timothy. And they got to see it. And he was raised up in it. And it's taught to him. Whatever you have heard me say, Paul says, take hold of that. I entrust it to you. Don't let it go. Don't let it go. This week, I couldn't help but think about who has invested in me and who is investing in me now. A little overwhelmed by this. If any of us sit long enough and just think about the number of people that have invested in us, if we truly sit and think about it, then Thanksgiving should take on a whole new connotation of what we're thankful for. You know, I could be thankful for the founder of the Christian Missionary Alliance, A.B. Simpson, which this church used to be named after. He told people in Brooklyn about Jesus. In the shipyard, he told them. About the same time that my great-grandfather was working there. Now, I don't know if A.B. Simpson led my great-grandfather to the Lord, but he very well could have, or he very well could have led the person who led my grandfather. The same time that A.B. Simpson was there, my grandfather was there and came to Christ. And he told my grandfather about God, and he told my dad about God, and people from his church invested in him, and my dad taught me about God. I'm thankful for my mom, who prayed night and day for me. Night and day, and still prays night and day for me. Who texts me and says, God, put you on my heart. I'm praying for you right now. And I go, thank you, Jesus. I could use it. I'm thankful for guys like Eric Williams when I was just a wet behind the ears little freshman in high school who said, I see something in you. I see something in you. And I believe that God has a call on your life. I was a freshman in high school. I had no idea what my life was. I didn't know what I wanted to do as a freshman in high school. Or Barry Dawson, an elder of our church when I was a junior, who said, I'm pretty sure God's got a call on your life. Will you stop and listen to what he's saying to you? And I said, no, I will not. And he said, I think you should. And I said, okay. You're my elder. I will listen to you. And you know what? He was right. And I think of guys like Len Kegler, who's one of our elders, who was my prof and advisor at Nyack College when I thought I knew everything because I was growing up in the church. And he said, are you sure? And I said, yes. And he goes, I don't think so. Here you go. And he invested in me. I think of guys like Rob Parker, who gave me my first opportunity in ministry at Hawthorne Gospel Church, who said, come and be an intern. Oh, by the way, we want you to be the junior high youth director. Go. But then walked alongside me, who invested, who prayed, who modeled, who taught. I think of guys like Ken McGilvery, who was my next person on that staff that I went to, who taught me how to sit and listen. I'm still working on it. Who listened like nobody I've ever met in my entire life, who would stare you right in the eyes and repeat back to you everything that you said until he got it, and then he would pray that back into you. I think of guys like that. I think of guys like Martin Sanders, who invested me in seminary, who weren't afraid to ask the tough questions, who maybe liked asking the tough questions. My favorite of which that still rocks my soul and causes me to seek after God, what's the one thing that you haven't told your wife but you know you should? And I said, what do you know? What has the Holy Spirit told you? I think of guys like Kelvin Walker who currently call me up and say, God laid you on my heart. This is what I'm praying for you for. Or text me and say, do you need to talk? Do you need to grab a cup of coffee? Do we need to do that? I think of the elders of this church who tirelessly pray for me because they know the spiritual battle at which we are in. I think of the 9 people that each and every single Monday get a prayer update from me who have committed to pray for me whatever the request is. And the list goes on and on and on and on and on. I was overwhelmed this week as I thought about that question and the things and the people that have invested in me. And Lord knows if I sat longer, I would see more and more and more and more and more. And there's probably people I don't even know of. When I was at council back in May, there's a guy that I've known that I kind of knew who said, I pray for you every single day because I grew up at Living Christ Church. I had no idea that he was investing in praying for me. And the list goes on and on and on and on and on. This morning, just take 1 minute and then go home and spend an entire day doing this because it's really good for your soul. But who are the people who have invested in you? Whether it's spiritual or not, who are they? And who is investing in you right now? Just take a minute. Somebody comes to mind, write it down or put it in your phone as a reminder to later today. Thank them for what they've done in your life. We've looked at the who and some of the hows, and I want to look at the what. And once again, this is what Paul says in this passage of Scripture. This is not an exhaustive list, okay? These are just some of the things that Paul says to Timothy in this chapter. There's a whole book previous to this, his first letter to Timothy, that has all kinds of other really good stuff for Timothy in it. But these are the things listed here. And I think they're things that we can grab onto, that we can hold onto, that are in line with the values that God has called us to here at Living Christ Church. The first of which is encouragement. All throughout this chapter, it's one big encouragement to Timothy. I want to encourage you, and this is the way he does it, or he starts off. Fan into flame the gift you received at the laying on of my hands. I do this thing on Facebook. When my kids say something funny or something profound, I post it and I say, hashtag things my kids say. And we were going through them this week, and we were laughing hysterically at some of the things the boys have said over the years and some profound stuff. And one of my favorites was a conversation I overheard between Caleb and Jordan. And when you have boys, they like to wrestle, they like to fight, they like to punch each other, but they like to hug each other too sometimes on the rare occasion. And this one occasion, we were driving to school, and I heard, stop touching me, stop touching me, stop touching me, stop touching me. And then I heard Caleb say, I'm just trying to spread the Spirit. I'm just trying to spread the Spirit. And you know what? We laugh, we giggle, because we know the connotation there. But there is something that happens when you are touched purposely for the empowerment of your soul. When somebody puts their hand on you and says, I want to pray for you. I want to impart something good into you. It is way more than just a pat on the back. And it is way more than just a prayer. I want you to feel my presence physically upon you and receive what I hear God saying for you, for your benefit. Paul, or Timothy, remember when I put my hand on you and I prayed the gifts of God in you and what you received. Be reminded of that. Fan into flame. It's like the stirring of the fire pit when it starts to fade out. How many of us have moments in our lives where we just need one of those people who have invested in us to kind of stir the fire pit of our soul because it feels like the embers are going out? Paul says, Timothy, right, fan into flame. Go back and remember that good time in which God was doing good stuff in you. He wants to do good stuff in you again. He doesn't want to stop. Right now, it might feel like it because of what's going on in your life, but remember that moment and allow the Holy Spirit to stir it. Don't be timid. Don't fear. Don't be fearful is the connotation there. But instead of one thing, be three things. Instead of fear, understand that you have power. The same power that raised Christ from the dead, he's planted in you through the work of the Holy Spirit. We can't even begin to understand what that even comes close to. But you have it at your disposal. Remember that, Timothy. And love. The love of God and the love for others. Focus on that, not fear. Then God's mission gets accomplished and your soul gets stirred. And self-discipline, self-control, moderation is the context there. Don't let your mind go out of whack. God gave you your mind for a purpose. If you are brilliant, God made you brilliant. Allow him to do the things in your mind. If you're not so brilliant, it's okay. God's power is there with presence. Timothy, focus on these things. Don't be timid. Don't be afraid. Understand that God's power, his love, and the transformation in your mind is at your disposal. Don't be ashamed. Don't be ashamed, Timothy, of this gospel. I think this is a hard one for the church because oftentimes, especially in America, we have so many different people that call themselves Christ followers and they don't act or say the things in which we think they should. And oftentimes they distract from God rather than attract people to God. I was just watching a video clip this week where a well-meaning guy was preaching. And he was more concerned with his ability to preach than the message being heard. And I think when we hear those kind of things, there's something inside of us that goes, I don't want to say anything then. Because we're not allowed to talk about politics and religion. Because we don't want to push people away. But what if your religion changes the world? What if your relationship with God made a difference in your life? Then what do? Do you share that love? Not to make people believe what you believe, but because it transformed you. Don't be afraid of that, Timothy. Don't be afraid of what God has done in your life. If somebody notices that you are a little bit different than everybody else, there is a light inside of you that not everybody seems to have, and they ask you, why are you different? Don't be afraid to share it. Or when you see somebody who doesn't look like they're having the greatest day, don't be afraid to share that you have the answer to what their soul wants, and his name is Jesus. Don't be ashamed of that, Timothy. Don't be afraid to share the good news of Jesus to anyone. I'm not, and I'm in prison right now. I don't have anywhere to go, but I'm going to keep on sharing it. Don't be afraid. Don't be ashamed, Timothy. The good news is at hand. And that good news is sound doctrine. And he gives us, over the next couple verses, some sound doctrine. Now, this is not the only sound doctrine. There's more to the story, but this is the sound doctrine he gives in this passage. And it's good sound doctrine. It should be used and focused on. God saved us and called us to a holy living or a holy life. To be more like him and less like us. Because us without him is not good. And if you think it is, come and talk to me and we'll debrief your life to this point. Us with him equals whole. Us without him is not even close to whole. He wants to make us more like Jesus. This is through grace and not of anything that of your doing. Hallelujah, praise God. Because if it was up to me, I'm going to fail every single time. every single time I'm going to fail. It needs to be a work of God Himself to transform and change me. Every time I try to do it in my own power, I fail. Timothy, don't try to do it in your own power. Let God change and transform you. It's grace, not anything that you've done, because Jesus, our Savior, the one who died for us, for you and for me, is in your life. That Jesus destroyed death, the death of your soul, so that at the end of life, when your physical body is destroyed, there is a possibility of you to be restored with the Father, because He also came for eternal life. But it's not just for the end of time. It's for the here and now as well. He's entrusted this good news into your life right here and right now. And the one who helps you hold on to it, because if you tried to do it all by yourself, you would fail. The one who helps you hold on to it is the Holy Spirit, who we talked about the previous 2 weeks. His power and presence in and through you is the one who is able to help you with what's been entrusted into your life. Hey, Timothy, these are just a few of the things that the God of the universe has done for you. Hang on to those. I didn't put it up here, but then he says, be strong. Be strong with what's been entrusted into you. You know what? You don't have to do that by yourself. It's not a strength that comes from you. It's a strength that comes from God. Man, that is an investment worth sharing, is it not? This is not a tall task, but this is the task that God has laid before us. Living Christ Church, are you willing to invest in people the way that Paul invested in Timothy and Timothy invested in others? Pastor Jeff, are you willing to invest in people that God placed you before you because of all the people who have invested in you? Heck yeah. He wraps up this passage of Scripture with giving us 4 generations of investment. The things you have heard me say, Paul speaking, entrust Timothy to reliable men and women, people, is really the connotation there, others, who will then also be qualified to teach others. In essence, don't stop investing in people. Don't stop. Don't stop until you see multiple generations of people who know the truth that Jesus Christ came and died for them, wants to transform them, encourage them, equip them, empower them. Never stop investing until other people are investing, until other people are investing, until other people are investing. You know what's really cool when you do this? Man, it comes back around. One of the people that I invested in years and years and years ago, his name is Matthew Stout, or Matt Stout. In 8th grade, he took one of those tests about what you should do in your life, and he got a 5 out of 10 on every single thing. Every single thing, he got a 5 out of 10. I don't know if that's ever happened in the history of you. Maybe it's happened to you. I don't know. I'd never seen that before. In like 10 years of ministry, I'd never seen that before. And he came to me and he goes, Pastor Jeff, help. I don't know what to do. My teacher looked at this and goes, I don't know what to tell you, Matt. I don't know what you should do. What do you want to do? I don't know. I don't know what I want to do. And I just looked at this kid who was good at everything but master of nothing. And I said, Matt, what do you want to do? And he goes, Jeff, I'd love to do what you're doing. I'd love to invest in people. And I said, all right. So as an 8th grader, we met. We met for coffee, we met for breakfast, and I just began to impart into him everything that God had given me. Take it all, use it, steal it, do whatever you want with it, so that you invest and that you invest and you invest. And I invested in him for the next 6 years. And then he came to Nyack College, and guess who got to invest in him? Len Kegler, who got to invest in me. Len invested in me, I invested in Matt, Matt goes back, Matt gets invested by Len Kegler. You know what happens? Matt gets out and he graduates. Matt's now in ministry now, investing in other people. Guess what? He's also one of my prayer people. So now it's come back around and he's reinvesting in me. And I get text messages from Matt out of the blue. Hey, God laid you on my heart. I just want you to know that I'm praying for you. And every now and then, he gives me one of those warm fuzzies that we all need. Hey, thank you so much for investing in me. Because of you, X, Y, and Z. He took a picture at a retreat where he was training others. Hey, Jeff, you invested in me. Guess what? Now you get to invest in these people because you invested in me. Praise God. Hallelujah. And it comes back around because God knows what we need because he's a brilliant God. Living Christ Church, who is God calling you to invest in? Who is he calling you to invest in? Because we can't stop this party. So these two questions before us to wrap up on this service. Who is investing in you? Who's investing in you? Or who has invested in you? Maybe you're at a moment in time in your life where you don't feel like necessarily somebody's investing in you, but you need someone to invest in you. Use these two legs and this mouth and go ask somebody to invest in you if you need that. And if they tell you no, I know some people. We can take care of it. I say tongue in cheek. And then don't stop with just you, right? Don't be selfish. Don't be selfish. There are gifts and abilities and things that you know that need and must be reproduced and invested in others. Don't keep them to yourself. God has given you experiences in your life that are going to help other people. Don't hold on to those experiences and just keep them to yourself and go, wow, that was really terrible that I went through that, or wow, it was really great that I went through that. You know what? There's other people in this world who have gone through terrible experiences and they need somebody to come alongside them and say, you know what? I've walked that journey with you. I've walked that journey before. Let me help you. Let me show you how I came through it or out of it or still in it now. Or maybe this God imparted this, he imparted this into me. I want to impart this into you. This will be good for you. But then we need to use these ears and listen to the people that want to invest in us. Because it doesn't work if we don't listen. Who has invested in you? Who do you need to invest in you? And who is God calling you to invest in? Let's pray. Lord, Father in heaven, Lord, I ask right now that you would begin to bring to mind the people that God is calling us to invest in. Right now, Lord, I ask that you'd push aside all the distractions of the day and of life and just bring people to mind right now that you want us to invest in. And Lord, help us be reminded of the people who had invested in us. Give us time this week to thank them for their investment. And ask Holy Spirit that we would be open to those that currently want to invest in us. Let us hear, receive, grow in the good things that you've given. Lord, we thank you that you are God and we are not. In Jesus' name, amen.